Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
What clip did you expect me to show on February 2nd? I mean, really, come on. It had to be a Groundhog's Day clip, and it just perfectly worked out with this morning's message. This morning's message is actually the reason why I want to do this series. The lesson from this morning's message has been, it's a principle that if you can embrace it, it'll help you move through life and accept the way God has set up life. If you reject it and give into the lie about it, you will always struggle with everything that comes into your life. It is that important, that crucial. It's the reason why I wanted to do this series as we start off this year. The series, of course, is 2020. We're looking at, you know, hindsight, where we've been, insight to where we are, and then foresight with where we're going. In the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about looking back on our past, and there's some things in our past that were so good, we're tempted to want to stay there and not move on from it. We just want to keep reliving it like the FedEx guy. Just, you know, I remember there was that one time I did that one great thing, and I never want to get off of that. Other times, there's stuff in our past that was difficult and hard to deal with. But somehow we get stuck in that, and we have a hard time moving on from a very difficult thing. And we talked last week about how if you have a problem with your past, really it's a grace problem. It's not a problem with your past or somebody else's past. It's really a grace problem that you need to deal with. You need to figure out and work through grace either in your life or in somebody else's life and dealing with their past. However, I want to move now to an insight into our present situation. And to do that, I want to borrow some of the language from the Greek in the way that they understood time. It's interesting how different languages express time differently or have words to describe different things. English, I sometimes get frustrated with because it doesn't have a lot of nuance to some of the elements of it. Or even when it does, we often can confuse them back and forth. In the Greek, as it's used for time, they had chronos and kairos. Chronos is time as we experience it, typically. Chronos is the monotonous movement of time as it moves forward. Today is Sunday, tomorrow is going to be Monday. This chronologically is what comes next. This is 2020, next year is going to be 2021. We move through life in the same sort of way. Today is February 2nd, tomorrow is going to be February 3rd. It just happens that way every time, unless, of course, you are Phil and you're stuck in Groundhog Day for the rest of your life. We know, though, that it doesn't work that way. We know that tomorrow you're going to get up and you're probably going to do tomorrow the same thing you did last Monday. It's just the same thing every single day, the same experience. So life is chronological. It moves forward in that way. But life is also seasonal. That's the kairos. It's seasonal. There are seasons of life that you move through. And that's where we go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Our theme verse for this series comes from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. It says, God has made everything beautiful for its own time. Now, in the Hebrew, I think there was 20 different words that mean a season of time. They have 20 different seasonal words, I guess, because of all the different planting, all the different agricultural usage that there were of seasons and times. They have 20 different words. And so this word here actually is a word from the Hebrew that actually means God has made everything beautiful for its own season. He's made every season of your life beautiful in its own way. And he goes on, he says, he's planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work in the past and in the future. Now, the context for this verse that we've been looking at the past couple weeks, and we'll be looking at this whole series, comes from Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8, which is a very famous passage that the Byrds made famous back in the 60s. And many of you all will know this passage, not because you know the Bible, simply because you're into hippie folk music. And it says, there is a time for everything and a season for everything, every activity under the heavens. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up the search, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace. So Solomon, often considered the great wisest man ever to have lived, he's looking at us saying, listen, I know that life, if you don't think about it, it's going to seem chronological. Everything's going to seem, you know, this year and then next year, today and then tomorrow, Monday and then Tuesday. It's going to seem very chronological. But you understand there are seasons to life. Life is seasonal just as much as, if not more so, than it is chronological. There are seasons. For everything in life, there is a season. There is a time. There is a period that it moves through. Now, having grown up in Florida, I didn't experience seasons until I was 28 years old. When I was 28, I moved to Birmingham, and I moved to Birmingham in the winter. And I just assumed that Birmingham was a city kind of devoid of color. It just was the way that it was. And I remember one morning, I was on my way into work, and I didn't know what a Bradford pear tree is. If you don't know what a Bradford pear tree is, we have them here in Virginia. They're the trees that for like 1 week look absolutely amazing, and then the rest of the year they're fragile, brittle, and they break and they fall apart at the strongest wind. They're those trees that go brilliant white. We have two of them out here in the parking lot. They get brilliant white for like the first week of spring. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm driving into work, and the roads I was taking to work was lined with these Bradford pears, so it is just color of white everywhere. And then underneath it were these tulips of every color you can imagine. And so you had this brilliant white with a rainbow of tulips underneath. And I'm just like, I'm hearing, you know, Julia Andrews, or what her name is, sing the Sound of Music song, "The Hills Are Alive." And I am just taking it all in. I'm amazed. And I come into work and I'm just like on high. I'm like, oh my gosh, have you ever seen something so amazing and so beautiful as it is coming in? I mean, have you ever seen anything like that? And this very sarcastic girl in my office looked at me, she goes, "Yeah, it's called spring. Ever heard of it?" I'm like, it hit me. I'm like, no, I haven't. This is my first time ever experiencing spring. And she looked at me like, "What are you, a moron? It happens every year." Not in Florida, it doesn't. Florida, you have hot and nasty humid hot. That's all you have. You have hot and nasty humid hot. Even when it's supposedly cool outside, it's so nasty humid, it doesn't feel cool. Like, you'll see the temperature gauge says, oh, it's 68. Maybe I can wear a sweatshirt today. Now, here's the thing. In Florida, hang on. In Florida, some Floridians are just, they just don't have any tolerance for any kind of cold. However, other Floridians, it's not that they're just absolutely sissies when it comes to cold air. It's that they bought this cool sweatshirt when they were on vacation, and they never get to wear it. So as soon as it gets below 70, they're going to wear it just because they want to wear something with long sleeves for a change. And what happens is you walk outside and you forget the humidity still makes it feel like it's 90. And so I never experienced anything else. I didn't understand sort of the cyclical nature of the way God had created the environment around us to sort of give us this picture of what life is like. Now, as much as I love summers, I mean, I really do. I can tell you this. Number one, I don't love eternal summer. That's part of the reason why I left Florida, was I was just sick of the heat. People are like, why would you ever leave? Like, in the winter, people say, why would you ever leave Florida? Like, Pastor Bobby loves Florida, and he'd always look at me like, you lived there and you left? I'm like, give it some time, man. Give it some time. You'll be back, okay? Trust me. There's no way you can endure eternal heat. There's a place that has eternal heat. And nobody wants to end up there. Just going to say that. Just if you figure out that as you will. And as much as I don't love the really cold days of winter, I do love snow skiing. I do love a good snowball fight. I do love going to sleep with tons of blankets, you know, all piled up on top, right? I love a warm fire. I love all those elements of winter. But what I love about winter the most is it makes me enjoy summer all the more. I mean, how special is summer after you've come out of a winter? I mean, it really is. And in summer, and in Florida, it's like they don't understand what they have. They don't know how good they have it, sort of. But as with anything, too much of a good thing becomes a very difficult and bad thing. But life is seasonal. It's not chronological in that sense. Now, here's the lie of Satan. The lie of Satan is to convince you that certain seasons of your life are eternal. There'll be that whisper that comes into your ear, and it'll say the very same thing that Bill Murray says in that quote that he says in there. It's a very profound quote. It's the lie of Satan that comes into your life. When you're going through a difficult time, it's that little voice that comes in and says, yep, this is your life now. What you're experiencing today is the same thing you're going to experience tomorrow. Because after Monday, just comes Tuesday. And you know what Tuesday's like? It's pretty much the same thing Monday was. Your life's never going to change. It's going to be cold, it's going to be gray, and it's going to last the rest of your life. Like, when he says that, there's a piece of you that just sort of identifies with it and says, yeah, that's what I'm feeling right now. I can tell you, when you're in a period of mourning, when you've experienced death, which all you see is everything good I had is now gone. And the permanence of death is so great and so overwhelming, you can't even believe it's just a season. Because the feeling of death, how could death be seasonal? How could death possibly be seasonal? Death is forever. People don't come back except for in the Bible times, and only a few people did there. I mean, even Lazarus comes back, but he ain't still here now. I mean, death comes for us all. It happens, and it's permanent. And so how can you possibly tell me the way I'm feeling right now isn't going to last forever? But as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, no, there's a time for mourning. It's a season. The season of mourning is here, and it's going to pass. It's not going to last forever. For those of you with newborns or little babies, there's a piece where you begin to ask the question, will this child ever sleep? Will they ever go to sleep? Will they ever quit crying? Will I ever know a night's a single peaceful night? Because it feels like it's going to last forever. One of the funniest lines of any television show is on the show Growing Pains, way back when Kirk Cameron made some good stuff. This lady's giving birth, and the dad is, since he's a psychiatrist, he's the closest thing there is to a doctor in the room, and so he's there, helping him. And the lady says, ah, the pain, when will it stop? And he says, in about 18 years, maybe longer. you wonder, was this ever going to end? You think about the seasons that are in there, and in Ecclesiastes, the writer, Solomon's saying, listen, there's a time to be born, and it's just a season. The newborn stage is just a stage. It's just a season. It feels like it's going to last forever. It feels like the sleepless nights are never going to go away. It's just a season, though. And there's a time to build. And sometimes the construction workers don't realize this because it feels like this road's never going to be finished, right? They are never going to finish 64. It's going to be under construction permanently. The roads here locally, I mean, are they ever going to get that one intersection in town right? Are they ever going to get that Kempsville, Indian River, Peril Parkway thing? Is that ever going to get right? It's almost like, no, that didn't work. Well, we'll redo it. No, we can just keep this going on for, it feels like that thing's going to be going on forever, right? And maybe that's an exception to the rule, right? Maybe that one actually is going to go on forever. I don't know. But it's supposed to be just a season. And you want to tell the contractor, just a season here, man. This building thing's a season. There's a contract here. And the seasons of life, they begin to feel like it is forever. It feels like it is never going to end. I remember one Sunday I was in church, and I'll never forget the pastor. I'm gonna have you guys all go ahead and do this, so maybe you'll have the same experience I did. I'm looking in the room, probably not, but turn to the person next to you and say, trouble don't last always. Now turn to the other person and say, trouble don't last always. I remember I was sitting in church, and I was on the end of a pew, and the guy sitting next to me looked like Fats Domino in his later years. It's this big old Louisiana guy. And this old, gruff, deep Louisiana voice, he's turning to me and goes, trouble don't last always. And I never forgot. He was just like right in my face, trouble don't last always. And it was good because I was going through a very difficult time. And I needed to hear that. Trouble don't last always. And you see, the reason why Satan wants you to think that this season is going to last forever is because it's going to move you to despair. That's why my favorite verse in life is Psalm 27:13. I would have despaired if I believed trouble would last always. I would have despaired if I didn't believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord once again in my lifetime. What he's saying there, if I believed that trouble is going to last forever, that the season I'm experiencing right now, as difficult as it is, as hard as it is, as painful as it is, if I believed that this was just my lot in life and nothing's ever going to change, it would lead to despair. And that's why Satan wants to convince you that what you're going through right now is all you're ever going to experience. It's just chronological. Whatever was set in place isn't going to change. It's cold, it's dark, it's rainy, it's difficult, you're up late at night, and it's really, really difficult, and this is just your lot in life. And ain't nothing ever going to change. And Solomon comes back, he says, no, it's seasonal. And yes, there's a time for mourning, but there's also a time for dancing. There's a different season that's going to come. There's a different season coming around the bend. And so what we need to understand that life is seasonal. So the things you're going through right now aren't going to last. They're going to change. There are sometimes, though, where, I'll just move on to the next thing I have. I'll come back to that. God changes the seasons, not us. Next thing you know, God changes the season, not us. We have here in Virginia what we call false spring, right? We have false winter. That's where you'll have this moment like in January or February, right? We've already had a couple of them, where it gets up to like 70 degrees and you're like, wow, winter wasn't that bad this year. I mean, it only lasted, you know, a couple weeks. It's 70 out, it's all good. No, that's false spring. That's not a real spring. It's going to last a little bit longer than that. And you can't rush through the seasons. It's going to change when God wants it to change, and you can't rush that. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 says this, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. His wisdom and power all are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others." Now, at the time that he says that, the Israelites are in captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. Now, they were in Israel. Everything was all good. They loved the things there. They weren't really doing the right things. And so God warns them for a couple hundred years, if you keep doing this, I'm going to come down there and do something at some point eventually. And eventually he finally does. And they're teared off into captivity. And so they're over there in this difficult time. And the context for the Jeremiah 29:11 verse that I often quote in here, which is, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to bring you hope and a good future," that verse comes out of the context of Jeremiah 29. I'm going to read some of the surrounding verses. This is when they're in captivity, okay? They're over in this season of exile. They're over in a season of difficulty. And what God is saying, listen, you're in this time and you're in this season. It's up to me to change it's up to me to change this. You can't rush through this. You can't force the season to end, and that's what we so often want to do. When I was in my period of mourning after Melissa died, all I wanted to know was how long is this going to last and what can I do to get through it quicker? I remember somebody said, you know, I remember reading somewhere, I think it was in one of the books, said, you know, the period of mourning will last somewhere between 4 months and up to 2 years. And I remember thinking to myself, how do I get on the 4-month plan? Can I get on the 4-week plan? Whatever I can do to get through this quicker, to make sure whatever lessons I got to learn, give me the accelerated, you know, when I was in college, you could take either a class for a whole semester. So every once in a while, they would offer an intensive, right? Where you could do like an entire semester's class in like 1 to 2 weeks. You do a bunch of work on the front end before the class started, and then you just spend like one full week, like 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. in the classroom, and you would cram an entire semester's into 1 week. I looked at it and said, you know, I want to cram an entire semester of mourning into just, 1, 2 weeks. Let's just get this over with. No. God's the one who changes the seasons. God who's the one who changes the times. And when they were in exile, they were just wanting God, just get this over with. When can we go back? When can we go back? And God comes to them in Jeremiah chapter 29, and he says, this season's going to last 70 years. It's going to last 70 years. And there's nothing you can do to accelerate this. You can't change this. You can't get out of this. You can't undo this. You can't fast forward this. This is going to be 70 years. That's how long this season is. It's up to God to change it. Because they're looking, you know, just get rid of this awful king. No. God says, I'm the one who's going to change the king. And I'm not going to make a change. And you're going to be here for 70 years. And so he says this. This is what the Lord God Almighty says to all those who are in Israel. They carried off into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4. Now verse 5. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, don't decrease. Also, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord God Almighty says to Israel. Don't let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I didn't send them. This is what I'm telling you. When 70 years are done for you here in Babylon, I will come and fulfill my good promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. And then you'll call on me and you'll pray to me and you'll come to me and I'll listen to you and you'll seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found by you and I'll bring you back from captivity and I'll gather all the nations from the places where they were banished and I'll bring you back to the place which I carried you off. All that's going to happen in due time. And there's going to be a season to gather again. There's going to be a season to restore again. But right now, that's not the season. You're here. And what he's basically saying is you're in this difficult time. You need to accept it. You need to embrace it. Because you can't fight against it. Think about what it means. They're in this place they don't want to be. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to plant. Now, if you plant something, like if you want mashed potatoes tomorrow night, can you go plant a potato today and get mashed potatoes tomorrow? No, it's going to take a while. And they're thinking to themselves, okay, what do we got to do just to get out of here? And he says, no, you need to plant. Plant. But plant takes a long time. And if I plant corn, it's not going to come up for like 6, 7, 8 months. I don't plan on being here that long, God. It's like, oh, no. You're still going to be here when that comes up out of the ground. You'll still be here the next 70 times that comes up out of the ground. So don't just plant. Go ahead and plow the field, set it out, build a farm. And while you're at it, build a house. Because you're going to be here a while. No, I'm going to put off getting married until we're back where I want to be. No, don't put that off. This is where you're going to be for a while. The season's going to last longer than you want it to. So on the one hand, you need to understand, seasons are not eternal. In other words, they don't last forever, but oftentimes they last a lot longer than you want them to last. And you can't rush it. But what can you do? You can embrace it. You can pray for peace within the midst of what you're going through. You notice what he says? He says, think how much they did not like being where they were at. They didn't want to be there. They want to be back home. Some of you, maybe you've experienced this in the military. Maybe you've had either now you're here and you don't want to be here. You wish you were back home. Or maybe, you know, the Navy's about to move you somewhere else and you don't want to leave. I mean, who would ever want to leave this church? I don't know. So you don't want to leave, right? And so you're going to get to some place and there's going to be a tendency for you to want to work and fight against everything that's going on around you. And you're going to fight it and fight it and fight it. He says, no. Embrace it. Pray for the peace of that city. I mean, think about it. If you work to invest in the place where you're at, it can only be better for you in the end. Like you may be in a relationship and you look to God and say, God, why did I marry this person? I don't want to be married to this person anymore. Get me out of this. And God's like, no, I'm not getting you out of this. You can either fight against them and put them down and drag them down the rest of your life, or maybe, you can pray for them. You can invest in them. You can build them up. You can plant seeds in them. Because if they prosper, ding, 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 guess what happens? You will too. I know you see them as your enemy, but if you invest in them, it can only work out for your benefit in the end. So he says, listen, it's up to God to change this. The other thing about the seasons, probably the reason why we want to rush through them is we have a hard time enjoying or seeing the joy in what we're in. This is kind of what he's getting at. He's like, listen, this isn't going to be all bad. You're going to experience some good stuff while you're in exile, okay? It's not going to be all bad. As a matter of fact, Daniel ends up becoming the second most powerful leader in this foreign land. It's not going to be all bad here. There's going to be some good stuff here. Marriage is a fun day, isn't it? There's nothing better than a wedding day. Harvest, that's going to come. That's a great day. There's going to be a lot of great days even in the midst of a difficult season. And the problem that we have is we can't often see the joy and the fun parts in the midst of our difficult times. That's why other people look back and they look at us in our stage and say, oh, those are the best times. No, they're not. Oh, yes, they were. You see, because what happens is this. When we're living in the moment, so often all we can see is our problems now. We can't see any of the joy. However, we can look back and see joy in other times, and we forget about the problems back then. We look to the future, maybe somebody else who is experiencing something we'll experience in the future. Like we see them with teenagers, and we think, oh, how easy is that they get themselves ready for school and they do all that stuff on their own. But you don't see their problems. So in other words, you see joy everywhere else and not where I'm at. And you see problems where you're at and not everywhere else. So let me ask you just some questions. What's the best stage as a parent for when you have kids? Like what's the best stage of parenting? Newborn? Toddlers? Preschool, elementary school, high school, they're gone. They're caring for you when you're in the mother-in-law suite. Which is the best stage? I don't know. We could debate that all day long. So often, though, whatever stage you thought of, I bet is not the stage you're at. What's the best size for a church? Big church, little church, mega church, small church? I don't know. This is one where usually we just like it right where it's at. Right where it's at. Let's just keep it like this. You know, we've got a few seats left in here. Next service, there's almost no seats left. Third service, there's more seats left. But let's not do a second campus again. Can we just keep it right where it's at? And I keep telling you, we cannot run this place like a nightclub where we have a list and only let certain people in. We can't do it. Okay? I don't know what the best sized church is. I just can tell you that it's never going to stay the same. What were the best years of your Navy career? Oh, what was it? Your last day? Your first day? You know, was it the, somebody said it's all the gold emblems are good and the silver ones are bad, or is it the reverse? The silver ones are good and the gold emblems are bad. There's, you know, there's different things. You get to do fun stuff at certain stages, other stages you don't. I don't know. Well, listen to people in the Navy talk about, you know, the good years and their bad years. What's the best years of marriage? Dating? Engaged? Newlywed? 10 years? 25 years in? 50 years in? It's over, you're not doing that anymore? What are the best years of life? When you're a kid, you didn't have any responsibilities, so everything was carefree and wonderful. Teenage years, your 20s, I'm not even gonna mention 30s, 30s is just a lot of junk. 40s, you know, you're getting your earning potential up maybe, I don't know. Things are kind of starting to figure a few things out in life that were messed up before. Retirement, nursing home, stepped into eternity, I don't know. What's the best year? What's the best season of life? You see, what that question reveals is so often you have a hard time enjoying right where you're at right now. You have a hard time embracing this season of life because all you're focused on is the problems. And naively, you look to somebody else in some other season of life and you say, oh, when I get there, I'll have arrived and it'll be so good, and that's the promised land. And they laugh at you when you say that. That's why all the laughter in this room was people thinking about your stage and how ridiculous it is that you think that this isn't a good stage of life, because all you're focused on is the difficult times and you're missing the wonderful and the beauty that's all around you. Plant, build a house, get married, have parties, enjoy the time. I know this isn't where you thought you would be. I know this isn't where you wanted to be, but this is your season, and it's a season. And trust me, I'm going to bring you out of this. This isn't going to be forever. You're not forever going to be in exile. You won't forever be in this state. You won't forever be like this. There's going to come a day when I bring you back. I'm going to do that. I know the plans I have for you. I know this season isn't eternal. There's going to be a time where I bring you back and everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be fun. Everything's going to be like you want it to be. There's going to be some difficulties then. We read about that in the Bible. We see when they get back into Jerusalem, it ain't all easy. I mean, they got to rebuild the wall. That wasn't easy. They got to rebuild the temple. That wasn't easy. There's difficulty in the book of Nehemiah and Ezra. There's some difficulties there. But right now, just enjoy where you're at. Embrace it. Next thing is be patient with the season. It's kind of what I've been getting at. Be patient with the season. There's a certain beauty in something happening at its right time. When God says, I make all things beautiful in its time. You're wanting so desperately to rush out of this season. The problem is, if you rush into your next season, either you're not ready for it or it's not ready for you. Okay? This season that you're in that you want to change, sometimes you're in the season so it can change you. And if you spend the whole time trying to change the season and not allowing the season to change you, you're not going to be ready for what comes next. If you look at the book of Song of Song, there's a refrain throughout the book of Song of Song where it's this romantic love story. And this woman who is now married, she's going back and talking to either her younger sisters or friends, other ladies in the town who are younger than her, who aren't yet married. And she has this one message over and over and over and over again. It's a refrain that keeps coming up. She says this, I'm going to read it out of chapter 2, verse 7. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field. In other words, the gazelles or the does. Either there's a bunch of, you know, out in the meat market and all the club scene, you know, these gazelles running around. Just picture like a buck in heat, you know, that kind of thing. They're all running around, right? And all the does kind of moving all around. They're in rut, they're in heat, all that stuff going on. That's the environment you're living in. It's a sexually crazed culture. Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Don't rush into that season. Don't rush into a relationship. I think this was paraphrased much better by the Supremes. Mama say, you can't hurry love. No. You just have to wait, right? You got to trust. I could keep going on. I'm going to go back to the Bible, though. But that's her message. Say, listen, I know you want to have sex right now, but this isn't the season for that. I know all you want right now is to be in a relationship, and you're sitting there and you got this big queen size or king size bed, and you're all alone on one end of it thinking to yourself, God, there's a lot of room here. You could fill it. What are you waiting for? He says, no. You got to wait. Don't rush into this. Don't arouse. Don't go down that path until it's the right season or time for it. Because then she shares what she experienced. And this is beautiful, by the way. Verse 10, she says, my beloved spoke to me and said, arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. See now, the winter has passed, and the rains are over and gone, and the flowers appear on earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. See, she's looking at it. She's saying, you know, I went through the long, hard winter that you're in right now. I went through that. I endured the cold, the darkness, the rains, the difficult times. I endured all of that, all those lonely nights. I endured all of that. But you know, it's because I endured all of that that what I'm experiencing right now is so amazing and so beautiful and so special. You know, the reason why Birmingham just lit up for me is because all I had experienced in Birmingham was winter. I mean, I got there, I think it was like November when I got there, so it was right at the beginning of winter. I think we got like the last week of fall, and I thought that was kind of neat. I'd seen a red leaf. I was like, oh, well, that's kind of pretty. I'd never seen that before. And then it just went into winter, and it was just cold, and it was dark, and it was rainy, and it was miserable, and thinking to myself, well, this is, you know, kind of a cold, depressing, dark city. But what made that day, I mean, this, you know, it's been over, gosh, my kids are what, 14 now? Yeah, it's been 15, 16 years since then. And what made me still remember that first spring was it was just so amazing and beautiful because of the winter that had preceded it. And what God wants for you to experience in its right time is going to be beautiful and amazing. But you got to wait for it. You got to wait for it. It'll be beautiful, it'll be wonderful. Gosh, I'm nowhere near the end of this, but I'm at time, so. 'Tis the season for us to close in prayer. And we'll pick up where we left off next time. Let's pray. Father, may we embrace where we're at. Father, forgive me for only seeing the hardships. Forgive me, Lord, for crying out to you to demand that you change this season. Forgive me, Lord, for not being willing to accept where it is that I'm at. Forgive me for not enjoying and seeing the beauty where I'm at and embracing this and in finding joy in this. Father, I ask so that we might be able to accept our place, knowing that your word promises that this isn't our permanent state. This isn't eternity. This is just a season. And this too shall pass. And the hardships we go through now are going to make what comes next all the more beautiful and all the more enjoyable. If you can give us the eyes to see the life as you've created it. Father, may we know what season we're in. And know that it's just a season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.